Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to Canva Pro for supporting The Instance. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/instance. And by BetterHelp. For 10% off your first month of BetterHelp, go to betterhelp.com/instance and start living a better life today. Hello, everyone. I can't talk yet. Hey, welcome to The Instance. My name is Scott Johnson, and I am joined today by Jocelyn Moffitt. Hello, Jocelyn. What's going on? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
You ever start a show and their first word gets hitched in your mouth and it almost doesn't come out and you feel like you should start over, but then you realize that you do everything live to hard drive, so who cares, and just keep going? You ever do that?
Well, every once in a while. Sometimes I get my co-host names wrong, too, so there's that as well.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
We are professionals. Yeah. We just professionally suck.
Yeah, always professional. Of course, that voice being Garrett Weinzer. Hello, Garrett. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks.
Missed you guys last week. Had a little family emergency here, but all is well. Everything got taken care of. We're good. And feels good to be back in the saddle. We're going to dive right in today because we have a very meaty, meaty topic. Let's do it. All right. You remember that Twitch breach? Now, we're about a week late here, but, you know, that gives us a little time to stew on it, think about it, bask in the afterglow of what it means to have the world's prominent video game streaming service get completely ripped open wide and have all our data leaked. And so we were here to sort of pick up the pieces and do a little bit of analysis, but also just look at the bigger questions around security in gaming. And also some of the revelations, like, I don't know, a little thing like a Twitch competitor got leaked that Amazon was working on, maybe still working on. We don't know, with a very unfortunate name. We'll get to all that here in a minute. But first, let's talk about what happened. Now, you guys may not know this, but we have a bit of an expert in this field with us.
Don't say
she's
that.
Gonna hate
oh
this.
My God.
She's gonna hate that I'm saying this, but she already, this whole week, I've been like way impressed with stuff Jocelyn has brought to the table on this topic. And it's kind of blown my mind. It's because you're actually studying this right now, right? Like, this is your thing.
I am. Yeah. I started in January studying information security, with cybersecurity, basically. And so then Twitch got breached and I was like, oh, it's my two worlds collide in not a good way, actually.
No. Well, I was going to ask you, like, as somebody who's like in the thick of, wrapping your head around all things InfoSec, did it happen? And did you have even just a brief moment of, this is bad, but this is good for what I'm doing and learning, like real world thing happening, right?
Yeah, it was really funny, actually, because like now my Twitter is all like Twitch gaming people and then also InfoSec people. And I knew it was bad because it was the InfoSec people that were like, whoa, this is happening. And I was like, wow, the fact that it's not my Twitch people freaking out about this yet means it's actually a really big breach.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that.
This is like when my parents mentioned Blizzard drama. I'm like, wow, okay, it has reached a magnificent shit mountain.
Wayne, can I ask you just what? How did they bring that up with you? What was the...
Yeah, you usually like on the phone, like, hey, what's going on with that Blizzard that you cover? And I'm just like, oh, God, if your sources of news are covering this,
man,
then yeah.
I was trying to think if anybody around me and my immediate said anything. Well, I guess a few people did. My mom has no idea.
Sometimes my dad goes, you should think about buying Blizzard stock because it's at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Dad, thanks.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's kind of not at an all-time low, is it? It's still doing fine, I think.
I don't know. I haven't looked in a while. Last thing I'm going to give is anything even remotely resembling stock advice.
Yeah, don't come to the show for this. But today you may get some really good InfoSec advice from the show. And let's start where this whole thing started from. As usual, why do all the shit shows seem to start at 4chan? It's always there. It's like, what happened? Oh, a building collapsed, or a giant monkey was found, or somebody hacked the Pentagon. It's like, well, where did it come from? Oh, 4chan, of course. The ugliest freaking image board of all time with all the worst people go. I'm probably setting myself up for a hack by saying all this. But, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's 4chan always 4chan.
It's not even the worst of it anymore.
No, it's not.
4chan is just where I used to go to get my wallpapers.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I first had my like first 1080p monitor, they were like the only place that had dope ass anime 1080p wallpapers.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Why? When you started with that two sound, I didn't think that you were going to say 1080p.
Yeah, I thought like, something else.
All those big anime. Oh.
You know. Listen.
Right. Yeah, it's all about the resolution.
Sure.
I was a certain age when I got my first 1080p monitor, and I'm not saying that that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not either. And that place is, you know, they're known for having anime, a certain kind of anime. Let's put it that way.
I believe the term you're looking for is thirsty. There's a thirsty bunch over there.
It's a thirsty bunch, sure. And they're a little bored, and also they like to mess with the world and stuff. I mean,
learning so much about Garrett right now.
Yeah, I know, right? So hold on, Jocelyn, when you in studying InfoSec issues and stuff like that, is I assume because so much of it is a real time effort, meaning like if I want to study art history or I want to go study, I don't know, whatever, I'm getting more of a historical, what we know up to now, like math's been around for a long time. So here's the math we've known about for a really long time. But isn't it kind of real time for InfoSec? Because this stuff's happening like now, like.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, almost all of my classes, regardless of what they're covering, have like dedicated the first 15 to 20 minutes of the class to be like, hey, here's the big thing happening related to this class this week, because there's always something. Like something's always happening. So there's very much a focus on the basics, which is really good for me because I don't have a computer science background. So there's a lot of this stuff that I'm just like, oh my God, my first semester was really difficult.
I'll bet.
But yeah, it is. It's a lot of like basics of like how operating systems work, how you set them up, how like networks work and routers and switches and all that kind of stuff. Like it's a lot of real basics, but then kind of layered on top is like all of these discussions of like how it works in the real world with like imminent current event examples.
Right.
Because they're always there. Someone is always getting hacked.
Yeah. And this is a big one. It's funny. I was talking to Tom Merritt on his Daily Tech News show about this, and they don't normally cover outages or hacks because there are so many. There's something every day.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, yeah.
Even if you had a dedicated show to like InfoSec, you wouldn't be able to cover everything that happens in a week. But be talking for 8 hours.
Yeah. But once in a while, something so big and so massive, and that's what we're talking about today. So somebody on 4chan posted 125 plus gigabytes of data on the site. They labeled it as part one, although we've not seen any hide or hair of part two, part three. But the scuttlebutt is there's more coming. Who knows what that'll be? I don't know what else it could be, to be honest. This is almost everything.
Well, it's everything aside from user data. That's the big thing. That's what normally you see leaked alongside anything else they find. But in this case, this particular 4chan user very much seemed to, I mean, there's a whole ethical discussion about, you know, whether they're doing the right thing or not. But their whole thing was basically attacking Twitch itself as opposed to the user base and trying to, as they put it, foster competitiveness in the video game streaming space.
Okay.
Because, so there was no like passwords or usernames or personal information, like none of that stuff was leaked in part one, which is why I say usually user data is the thing that's like the least protected.
Yeah.
Like companies like usually lock their code down. Like that's their IP, right?
Right.
So if they were able to get to the source code, then they probably went through the user data to get there.
Yeah. And they probably, if he is the white hat hacker he's claiming to be, and I'm not saying he actually qualifies, but he's claiming to sort of be one. It's all about going after Twitch, not after us.
Yes.
As users. If that's true, if we hold him to that, then that makes me think part two, part three, whatever comes out later, will probably be that user data. But part one was a way of telling everybody, change your shit because I have all this. So go get your change all your passwords, get your two-factor authentication going. Like, don't sleep on this because I have more coming. That's what that maybe seems like maybe what why there's maybe parts. If indeed he's really
if there is even more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Who knows? Now, Garrett, do you think Mixer should have hung in there one more year? would this have been the time for Mixer?
I got back into Forza Horizon 4 because everyone but me, it seems like, got early access to Horizon 5, and I'm itching for it. And there's Mixer logos all over that thing like a pox.
Yeah.
And it was kind of my thought. It was like, oh shit, I bet you wish you were still around this week.
Yeah. It does feel like it would have been just lucky happenstance. To me, it's a little bit like New World, which we talked about last episode. That game benefited so much from everybody being a little bit down on WoW right now and mad at Blizzard. And maybe Final Fantasy's not your thing where everybody else seems to be going. And so it's like this happy moment of you're going to be successful because of the zeitgeist of the moment. Congratulations. And I feel like Mixer may have had a moment like that here if they had existed just one more year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they've really struggled with kind of like organic uptake, right? And so this might have given them a surge of that. It's so hard to know. Like, Twitch is such a monolith. It's going to be if Microsoft couldn't do it, if Microsoft couldn't throw enough money at the problem, like who can?
Yeah.
So I think this speaks to the size and scope of Twitch that hasn't killed them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that was kind of the point, I think, that the user who posted the data was trying to make, is that like, something like this might have killed any other company. Like, if this had happened to Mixer, it would have killed it before it died. Oh, like, you know, but Twitch, I mean, we're streaming on Twitch. Everyone, like, literally the next day before things had even kind of settled and we knew exactly what was in the breach and all the rest of it, people were still logging in and streaming and using it like there was no big deal. Yep. And it's nuts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Twitch just seems like at this point, like, too big to fail, which is kind of scary in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, some former staff actually talk about these security efforts being deprioritized, meaning not, you know, nobody was prioritizing security at the company because, quote, everyone loves Twitch, no one will hack us, unquote. I wondered about that because I thought, well, if you're the only game in town, or you're the big game in town, like, you know, people can go to YouTube or whatever. There's other options out there, but this is the big game in town for live game streaming. And otherwise, I think you could get lulled into a sense of we're sort of untouchable. Everybody only uses us. We're the only game in town. Sure, we're using code from 2011, and we probably should do something about that. But it's no rush. We're okay. We're too busy worried about these hate raids right now or whatever, although they probably weren't that worried about them.
We've seen their source code. They're not building anything. They're working on a Steam competitor, not tools to help their creators. Like, we know that now.
Yeah, that's actually one of the worst parts about this, depending on who you are. It does kind of lay bare what they're doing, what they're up to. And what they're up to is maybe a Steam competitor.
Making money.
Making money. Only working on tools that make more money for their bottom line. And then all those, you know, big giant lists of, payouts, who gets the most money and why and that sort of thing. A lot of people are upset about that, but that was already kind of easy math to do. Just go to somebody's channel and go, all right, well, I got 1,000 subscribers. Do the math in your head at about $5 a month. And
I did not understand anyone having any reaction to that other than, oh, cool, grass is indeed green, the sky is indeed blue.
Yeah.
The only thing I was shocked about was Critical Role being the top and also like so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
And I only say that because I don't pay attention to Critical Role. Like, I know who they are and what they do and stuff, but I don't, like, I'm not a D&D person.
Same.
So I'm aware of them, but then to see them like triple the number two person, I was like, damn.
Yeah,
I legitimately I thought those numbers were low. Like, my reaction was, I thought they made more money. Like,
yeah, so the thing about that is it's only the money that they get from their Twitch subs and bits, right? So that's not including any advertising, that's not include or like any sponsorships. It'll be Twitch advertising. It's basically all the money that Twitch has paid their creators. But there is no creator that's making millions of dollars from subs that is only getting money from Twitch, right? They're getting money from sponsorships. They're getting money from outside donations because not even everybody donates through bits. Like, that's not the be-all, end-all of those creators' income. It's going to be a large chunk, but there's more than that.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. And that's, you know, I saw it and went, oh, I mean, the Critical Role one actually surprised me at how high it was just as compared to everybody else's.
Yes.
The gap was big. Yeah. And I that seemed crazy. And of course, like any economic flow chart, it's 1%ers, more like half of 1%ers that get all the money at Twitch. Is a long ass tail, just a it goes forever, where people are making next to nothing. And, you know, think of it as any, I don't know, anything where the top 1% makes all the money. That's just kind of what it is. So that was interesting just from a data analytics standpoint to sort of see that curve. But yeah, people being upset that, oh my gosh, I can't believe so-and-so makes whatever he makes. I mean, you could have looked at his sub numbers and figured it out for yourself. It's not that that wasn't really, you know, secret data. As far as like Twitch payouts. But anyway, so that was part of this whole thing. The main thing, though, is it included Twitch's source code, creator payout stuff, which we talked about, the Steam competitor, which had a really weird name. Did we write that down in here? I don't think we did.
I didn't know.
Vapor.
It's literally called Vapor.
Vapor. Like,
they might as well have called it not Steam.
Yeah.
Like Steam synonym.
Yeah. It's weird. Like a weird Vapor. And I mean, that may have been like internal code, you know, like code name for this
thing.
It
probably was. I don't think it would have launched it. Like, they
could it have been more telling.
I mean, it's very telling. Yeah. Like, if I was doing a code word and I was really going after Twitch, I would not be all snarky about it and call it Vapor. I would say,
you could have named it Gabe is Senpai and it would have had landed the same.
Oh my Lord. You're right. It would have. But we don't know anything about that other than they were going to call people vape something. It was dumb. It was really dumb. So that's the other thing this sort of stuff reveals. It reveals a lot of sort of goofy corporate moves and culture and stuff sometimes. I mean, not a lot, but a little bit.
Well, and you never know, right? Like, it's probably not anything that was ever going to come out to the public. That's the thing, right? These are all the programmers' inside jokes. They're the winks and nudges. They're like, this kind of stuff doesn't usually make it out to us. This is just programmers messing around in their day-to-day because they don't expect anyone to see it.
No, they have no idea. By the way, the site, I don't know if people know this, but the site was also hacked in 2014. That was a pretty major one. I'm not sure how many people remember that, though. Anyway, it was so extensive at the time.
They didn't publicize it, really. Yeah. They put out one blog post in 2015, but the like insiders that worked at Twitch were saying the 2014 breach was actually worse than this, and they had to rebuild everything from scratch.
So they started over. Now, you'd think, I mean, it was 2014, so we're now some years on, but you'd think that starting over meant, all right, if we're starting over, it's security job one, and everything is going to be perfect from now on until forever. And I don't think that's what they did. I read a really fascinating back and forth on Reddit between some video technology experts, so guys that are super into, like, you know, MPEG standards and what does what and how you compress this and who has the rights to whatever. And Twitch has refused to pay royalties, I guess, in the past for whatever video codec technology they were using early in the site. And as a result, they took they made a fork from some open source stuff and then kept it secret. And how they got away with not having to report who owned source code or something was to never reveal what they built internally. And as long as it never got revealed, they were in the clear. But now it's revealed, like totally revealed, like what they use, how they use it, and whatever. So now they're faced with, like, what are we going to do about that? Because now our proprietary thing is out there and our only choice is either jump on board and pay royalties for the thing we have to use, or we keep using this. But now it's like supremely hackable and everyone knows what it is. Like, I didn't expect that kind of level conversation. And there was a lot of talk about that as well. Some of that may be boring for a lot of people, but I find that fascinating. Because
that's what I thought about this whole episode. I'm like, I am so excited about all of this. And I'm like, but I think Garrett's going to fall asleep.
Yeah, Garrett, how you doing? You doing? You hanging in there? You're feeling all right?
I don't have a horse in this race. No. Like, I am not a streamer. And yeah.
But look at you now. Look at these lovely pixels of Garrett assembled across the country in a meaningful way.
And this, yes, and let me critique Twitch while on Twitch.
Yeah.
It's
that's all right. If you pull way back, you could say
into a lot of question, like you mentioning the hack in 2014 and then building back, and shouldn't they have made it more secure? And it, my brain just goes, there's no such thing as truly secure.
There isn't. There never is. That's very true. Cybersecurity, information security is very much a arms race. And it's like each side is constantly trying to figure out what the other side is doing so they can stop it or break it. You know, like it is very much like us versus them sort of deal. And there is no such thing. Like, if you build it, then they'll try to break it. And that's just the way it is.
Right. Now, do you think the fact that the actual code base for all that is Twitch, like how it works, all of it is out there now? I mean, does that mean, I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean somebody can just make their own Twitch now if they're smart enough and have enough resources to just go for it. Was there anything proprietary enough here?
If they want a Twitch that is just as vulnerable as the Twitch that just got hacked.
That's the thing, right?
Go get on it, Microsoft. Where are you at? Where are you at, Microsoft?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like if it's got this many holes in it, why would you want to? I guess the bigger question is, does it really harm them in the long run that all of that is now out there? Because they're going to have to do so many things that are like starting over anyway. Problem with starting over.
I mean, it's a lot. It's going to be. I think it means a lot of extra new work on behalf of Twitch, and we're not going to hear about it because it would be dumb to talk about what they're doing publicly. You don't want to let people know how you're building up your walls.
Yeah. By the way, just to clear up some confusion in the chat. When I said that this guy fashions himself as a white hat hacker, I'm saying he does. I don't. I think it's a malicious hack, and I would put him in black hat country immediately. This is a malicious attack, regardless of how you feel about Twitch or their security or that they got too cocky, or all of those things can be true at the same time. But this isn't a benevolent, working for the people, dude. They all think they are on 4chan, but they're not. Oh, I'm setting myself up. I'm going to get hacked. Something bad's going to happen to me. All right. Let's move on. Real quick before we jump off of it, Amazon potentially competing with Steam at some level. Do we think that would work? Like, does Amazon have what it takes to actually compete? Because you could argue nobody has yet. Epic has got the most money to do it, at least so far. And they kind of have made some inroads, and they give a lot of games away for free to try to keep people over on their platform and do exclusivity deals for 6 months and all that. It strikes me that if Amazon was going to try to do something like this, they would have to launch with a massive library. They would have to be really competitive from the get-go. They certainly have the pockets for it, but do they have the heart for it? And it, again, reminds me of did Microsoft have the heart to push Mixer all the way? And they didn't. So why would Amazon be any different? This also could be an old reference. They haven't said, they haven't talked to that at all. They haven't said, oh, we're still working on it. They haven't said anything about the potential Steam competitor. So my gut feeling is it wouldn't work. It's just impossible to go from zero to Steam in any kind of reasonable. Do you know what I mean? Like anything, like being a Twitch competitor, honestly, or being an Amazon competitor. Like Amazon is this. They are this giant monolith that you can't knock over in their domain.
Well, I think you got to come at it from a different angle, right? Like, I mean, and who knows, because I can't look at code and know what the hell they were building. But like with a name like Vapor, I just go, oh, you're just trying to rip off Steam. Like you're just trying to do like Steam and like, yeah, okay, you're in the 98 degrees to the Backstreet Boys. Congratulations. Like I look at Epic and what they're doing, like they've just been slowly just like, yeah, you come here to play Fortnite. Oh, by the way, here's like a free game. Okay, we got like three games on the Epic store, and a few months later, like, we have all the games and half of them you got for free.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Like they're just Robin Hooding their way to market capital. Like,
yeah. I think that's a fair way of describing what they're doing. I don't know, will they ultimately out Steam Steam? I don't think so at this stage.
I don't think so, but I mean, they're going at it differently. They didn't try, like Microsoft tried to just be Twitch. Yeah. Like, we made our own Twitch, come to our version of Twitch, which it's hard. Like, it's so hard to do that. There's only like so many examples across history of where that succeeds. And
yeah,
like, look at theme parks and how many times every competitive Disney has had to be bailed out or gotten additional, like, you know, investment.
Yeah.
So like, I look at what Epic's doing and they're going about it smartly. They started small. They started, you know, shoring up and expanding their store, like one title at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can, they don't, this isn't their entire, you know, this isn't their whole basket. It's just it's a new basket. They're willing to lose a little money on for a while and see what dent they can make. And I feel like they've made a dent. Some people really hate it, but they just hate it on principle.
Oh, dude, I remember when everyone hated Steam. Everyone likes to forget that we all hated Steam.
Yeah, everyone was mad at Steam when it started. And you know, now it's like...
I remember having to hunt that piece of crap down every time I closed it and Control-Alt-Delete. Like, oh, I know you're still running. I know you're still using memory, you gray piece of crap. Like, that thing was a hell. But, oh, damn it, I had to play. I had to play Portal. I had to get that orange box.
Yeah.
Like, they got me. They had me by the Lambda symbol.
By the portals.
Yeah, they had you by the portals.
The portals.
Yeah. And you could say, Epic has you by the Fortnites. And they don't have us by the Fortnites, but they have a lot of people by the Fortnites.
No.
And,
but that's the thing, right? Like, Steam, like, over time, it just became like, well, I've just got so much here. It's just, this is just a way I game on computers now. And I think Epic's been going about it kind of the same way, where, like, they're kind of getting to that point where, like, if you have taken them up on enough of their deals, you've got enough games to play there that you're going to start to not really think about it all that much when you fire it up to go play your games that you got from them.
Well,
And the same thing happened with it there. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Same thing happened with the damn EA store. I remember when that horrible SimCity game came out.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I still got some games over there. And sometimes it's just, it is what it is. I don't really think too much about it.
But they've basically given up, though. They're like, okay, all our shit's on... All our shit's on Steam now, and it's fine. Game Pass. Do you want to have EA Play in there? Go ahead, just have it. And like,
there you go.
They're giving up. up, and I'm fine with them giving up because the games I want to play from EA are now things I can just grab and play for free on Game Pass. So I guess thanks for failing. Good job.
Do you think that the one thing that Amazon has over Steam, well, I guess two things. First is Twitch itself, right? Like, right. Steam has like trailers and everything that are provided by the game companies, but like, we've seen, like, obviously Twitch is super popular, and seeing somebody play a game can often get you interested in stuff, or even seeing somebody talk about a game. I had a Sea of Thieves streamer that I was watching the other day who was talking about a city builder for beavers, and I went and bought the freaking game because I was like, well, I love him and he loved that game, and also there's beavers, so why wouldn't this be amazing?
No, I think the Twitch app and combine that with a store or a storefront, like, I think they definitely see, like, the potential.
There's maybe potentially something there, and then the fact that they're backed by Amazon, like you said, is this giant monolith no one can take down. And their business is working with companies and selling their shit.
Yeah.
So, like, you would think of anyone to come up against anyone in the sales category, they've got to have the, like, business acumen and the contacts to potentially make inroads with companies and get, like, you know, offer everything $5 cheaper or something. Like, who knows? Like, they have the capital to do that. Yeah. So maybe.
But sorry, I'm just frantically Googling beaver city builder.
But what
it's
if
like,
you
it's like timber lost or timber?
It's actually timber really born. It's a really cool game. Timberborn. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
It's cool. It's like beavers became super sentient and smart and stuff and built cities.
I need
and farms.
An Angry Beavers Nickelodeon skin for this right now.
Maybe it has workshop support. I don't know.
But here's the voice acting in it. I'm like that Nickelodeon fighting game. That'd be great.
Sure. So one of the things that this conversation has struck up in my head is, why not the reverse? So when you go to Steam now, there are often, especially with new games, there's a live stream happening up top of the game. And usually it's the devs or somebody playing it. But this happens a lot when you go to the Steam store. And they're just using Steam's built-in stream capabilities. That Steam has had that for a long time. You can stream your gameplay to your friends or to the public or whatever you want. But people don't flock there for streaming because, well, A, there's not a lot of community tools or, there's no bits, there's no freaking subs, there's no, all the fan stuff's just not there. That's one thing. But also, I think it would be equally hard for Steam to suddenly say, we're going to start a streaming service to compete with Twitch, as it would be for Twitch to say, we're going to start a store service like Steam. I think they both have the exact same problem. The people are here and they're not over here, but these people are here and they're not over here. But also there is crossover, right? People playing games on Steam aren't streaming them on Steam. They're streaming them on Twitch. And
yeah,
people
yeah.
who stream their games on Twitch are buying their games from Steam. Like they're all, in other words, I know they all want to be everything to everybody, but I don't think either side has much of a chance to poke a hole in the other side.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think there's, there might be a world where you go about it your own way. Like if Steam wanted to have its own streaming service, like you play to the strengths of Steam. Maybe it's built into Steam. Maybe it's like built into like your player profile. And it's just like, hey, just stream to your profile page and it becomes a link you can share.
Yeah.
And there can be integrated chat and you could like make it more Steam specific.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time too, it's just like, I don't know, don't bite off more than you can chew. Like do what Epic's done.
Know your niche.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, yeah, like niche down. Like double down on your niche. Like really hone it. I mean, hell, that's why anyone has ever started listening to anything I've made. I was like, I would have loved, how much I would love to have a general video game podcast? You know how much I would absolutely love that?
Yeah.
You know who would find it? Three people and my grandma. That's who would find it. Because that's how many people are out there making general gaming podcasts. It's the worst thing you can do if you don't have an existing audience and you want to build an audience from scratch. You know what I did? Mm. I went on iTunes. I typed in StarCraft podcast. There literally wasn't one.
Yeah.
And I started one.
Yeah.
It was impossible to not find me when you Googled StarCraft podcast.
Yeah. No, find the niche and aim hard and go. I agree. That's the instance was that. I won't pretend I was smart enough to understand why it was happening when it was happening. But, but all I know is like, I want to make one. There are only three. They're bad. I'll make one. And then
they were. I listened to the other ones when you were early.
Yeah, I don't know where they are now. I think they're all gone. But I remember at the time it just exploded after that. And I went, oh, okay. You find a niche people are hungry for and you go for it. And that's good podcasting advice. Unless it's something you don't want to do. Like, don't pick a niche that seems like no one's doing it, but you have no interest in it. Still have it be something you like, Like, don't go, I'm trying to think what it would be. Like, you want to do a podcast on...
Are you saying you should not go chasing waterfalls, Scott?
That's what I'm saying. Stick to the roads and
stick
the things
you're... Stick to the rivers and the lakes
you're used to. The roads. I forgot how I went.
From a water reference to a man-made ground reference.
I forgot the words.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the moon and the deserts that you're used to.
Yeah, the moon. The moon and deserts. That's right. I like your lyrics better.
Back to Portal. Got to go to space.
Yeah, go to space. Shoot the moon. Oh my gosh, that moment in Portal 2. No, Portal 1.
Space.
Is it Portal 1 or 2? 2.
That was 2.
Okay.
That was 2.
Dude, we ever get... Whatever. We'll get to back.
Easy. Turtle Rock needs to buy the rights to Portal
there
because
you're
allowed to count to three as long as you are no longer at Valve.
Yeah. We'll get to that because that's a thing. All right. Here's what you need to do as a viewer, though. If you haven't already done it, change your passwords. Enable two-factor authentication if you haven't. I'm sure they've talked about this in different ways, Jocelyn, but if I do text versus an app or a key fob or whatever, always go app or key fob over text, right? That's what everyone always says. Like it's more secure, but that's way more secure than the text thing, right?
Yeah. So the problem with any sort of SMS is that it's just plain text, right? So you're just sending the message over the medium, right? So that's never going to be secure. If anyone can ever get access to your transmission, they're going to be able to read that message no problem. They don't need any additional tools, nothing. But if you're using anything like any apps, then when they're sending their transmissions, they're encrypting it, right? So you have that one more level of security on your security, which is a good thing, right?
Sure.
Like SMS is better than absolutely nothing, but it can be compromised in so many ways. And it's been around so long that everybody knows all the ways to compromise it. So it's not even like it's new and fancy and no one knows how to break it.
Right.
Like yeah. So it's one of those things where like it's better than nothing, but there are even better options.
Yeah. And MFA is multiple factor authentication.
Multi-factor, right? Yeah. So, authentication, yeah.
So if you're used to hearing 2FA, it means two. That's fine. Two is great. But MFA is even better because it means you've got lots of ways they'd have to get over, I don't know, these humps to do stuff. And
yeah,
it's all
about putting like as many blocks or right. like as many ways to prove you are who you are.
Right. So if you've got a game as a service, whatever that game is, an MMO, you know, whatever. This is sort of a must, not just with Twitch and any other service. Like if you don't have this on your Gmail/Google account, do it today. Oh boy, I learned that the hard way about 5-6 years ago. I got hacked and I lost control of my email for about 6 hours. And it was a nightmare because everything's in there. Like
yeah.
other secure information.
You want to get to anything else. Oh. You got to route it through your damn
yeah.
email.
Yeah. yeah.
All
yeah.
of it. It's all there.
I got the same.
It was really bad.
Certain accounts I do not have. Multi-factor. I'm not going to mention them, but those are because there's really nothing important attached to them.
you hear all all that typing sound? That's everybody trying to hack Garrett right now. That's what yeah. yeah. No. Like there. I think I'm finally nothing doesn't have multi-factor for me. Yeah.
It's available. Yeah, not everybody available. Has it available, but most services do.
Guys, I want to talk to you about Canva Pro. It's a design platform. I like those. This is the kind of platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. If you design with Canva Pro, it's fast, easy, fun to use. You can choose from thousands of professionally made templates, which are easy to customize, and simple drag and drop features. Or you can start from scratch if that's what you want to do. Canva Pro comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and more elements that give the personality and style you're looking to try to achieve with your presentation. Get all this and more with the Canva Pro subscription and stay on top of team projects with an easy organizing system that allows you to share, edit, and comment in real time with Canva Pro. You and up to 4 teammates can unlock Canva Pro in just no time for only $12.99 a month. It's amazing. Wow your audience with Canva Pro, the easiest way to create presentations. Get a free 45, that's free is the word, free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/instance. That's canva.me/instance to get your 45-day extended trial. The show is also brought to you by our friends at BetterHelp, trying to help you figure out what interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals. You can start communicating with BetterHelp and a therapist in under 48 hours, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. They're committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches and make it easy and free to change counselors as needed. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. And it's convenient, professional, and affordable. And they'll help you with everything from sleeping, depression, anxiety issues, self-esteem, anger, grief, trauma, you name it. They're there for you. So here's what I want you to do. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/instance. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/instance for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
You know, one of the most annoying things that ever got hacked for me was my damn Netflix account.
Oh, how'd that go for
Weirdest
you?
Weirdest thing. I'm pretty sure I know how it got hacked. I stayed in an Airbnb in New York City and I logged into my Netflix while I was there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was staying with a friend because Airbnbs are illegal in New York City, or at least it was when I stayed there. Yeah. I forgot to log out, but like I at the same time too, I'm like still like, I don't know how they got my password and put it on other devices, but they changed my password and it is remarkably difficult to like talk to Netflix and get them to change your shit if you don't have your own password to your own account.
Oh, yeah.
And my whole takeaway was how rude. I would have happily let that person keep using my Netflix if they had just kept the password the same. I would have been none the wiser.
Yeah. Like, just share
maybe my recommendations would have gotten weird, but hell, if they had put up like a second account, like, hey, yo, you forgot to log out, I'm taking your account now, I'd have been like, whatever, they deserve it.
What if it was like, just Bridgerton? Every time you clicked anything, it said, you should be watching Bridgerton. And then you'd be like, I gotta start.
I don't know what Bridgerton is, so I don't know how it would be by that suggestion.
It was pretty good.
It was all right. My wife loved it. So.
It's like a period drama.
It's now the second most watched thing on Netflix ever in its history. It was number one until this Squid Game
happened,
which nobody saw that coming. So what a world that is. But yeah, all that stuff.
This does not look like something I would like.
Bridgerton, no.
This looks like, all right, when people are dressed like this, they better be effing vampires or I ain't watching your shit. Well,
there's no vampires.
There is a lot of, there is a lot of effing, though. A lot of effing.
This this is vampire bait.
Everybody said, but there was not as much as I was expecting, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, you're right. It was like mild.
The expectation
I'm learning
here.
So much about Jocelyn today.
It was mild to medium romance novel level stuff.
Yeah,
it wasn't anything too crazy.
I don't want to hear any more judgment about my wallpaper choices. Okay, I don't want to hear any more.
I'm just picturing what you have on your wallpaper right now. Some kind of hentai compilation thing,
it's like
what
Mandalorian concept art.
Oh well, damn it! All right,
he's grown up now, Scott. Yeah. No more anime 1080p for him.
It's all changed. That's great. All right. Quick other couple notes here. So do that. A password manager is also really great if you can do one. I have it generate nightmare passwords that no one's ever going to get for everything.
My husband always gives me crap because I'll go to like log into something on the TV and I have to pull out my phone, pull up my LastPass, like grab my like 20 character long thing. It takes me 10 minutes.
You're doing it right.
Yeah.
You're doing it right. That's what you're supposed to. I've been like yelling at
hard.
Yeah. No one else in my life does that.
Yeah.
I can't get any of my loved ones, my family, my friends. I'm like, And all of them get hacked. All of them are like, oh, shit, I can't get into my Postmates. And I'm like.
Yeah, because they called it Post.
LastPass, it's free. There's free competitors. What are you doing?
Like, Post 123. Yeah, exactly. Don't do that. Like, I've got a friend. I won't say who it is because we might share what knowledge of them. But for a while there, their Netflix password was super easy because they didn't want to spend a bunch of time, like Jocelyn described, putting their password in. So the password was poo, P-O-O. For a long time. And all lower, not even a capitalization, all lowercase poo.
It's funny because it also describes the quality of that password.
Yeah. No, it's a poo password for sure. And they got hacked. So don't do that. Make it a little harder. And also, you know, most modern like set-top boxes, Apple TVs, the new Rokus, like those things support pinging your phone for you to send that password over your local Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not trying to flex, but I just got like a massive LG TV. We've re-outfitted our living room and installing the apps on there. Almost all of them throw up a QR code now.
Yeah.
And the television's so big, I don't have to walk up to the TV to scan it with my phone. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you do it for your butt. You can lay on your couch and go, and get it.
Yeah, I was under three chihuahuas. Yeah. And I just like lifted my arm up and it's like, wink, you're logged in. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is so wonderful.
As somebody who lived through the Microsoft Apple wars of the 90s, it is a weird thing to sit down with my Xbox Series X fired up and know that the best performing video app on there is an Apple TV Plus app. That's crazy to me. On a Microsoft console. It's just sometimes you got to take yourself back. It's like finding out Sonic's in a freaking Mario game. Like, that was unheard of back in the day. Those competitions were thick, man. And now what are you going to...
This is going to be our generation's like, okay, take your pills, Grandpa. I'm going to be like ranting to like my younger family time. Members. Like, you don't get it back in the day, Sonic and Mario. They couldn't be together.
They couldn't be together. You can't pour Coke in your Pepsi.
They were more enemies.
They'd kill each other if we were living in the 90s. So, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, we fought against Japan, but we're pals now. It's like that.
Yeah, like, oh, shh, it's okay. It's okay, Grandpa. We'll see you on the next visitation day.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I like these tips that were put in here by Jocelyn. Remember, anything that's connected to the internet is vulnerable and anyone can be targeted, no matter who you are. Careful with your downloads. Not all add-ons, weak auras, skins, or mods are friendly. I can attest to this. When Nick was really into Minecraft during his formative years, he would download mods from sites that no one had heard of. And sure enough, the network now had like 8 malware things running because just downloading skins for Minecraft. Like, it was bad. So this is probably obvious to a lot of you, but still important to remember. Don't use the same password or even password pattern, and change it every once in a while. Never hurts. Enable multi-factor authentication, choosing apps over SMS every time. Be careful what you share. Don't talk about your cat if they're in your password hint. Okay. Also, when people fish for it on Twitter, here's what they do. They say, your stripper name is your mom's maiden name plus the street you grew up on. And you're like
please
oh, this
stop
is fun.
Those out publicly.
Yeah, quit doing those. Because they're getting, that is what they're doing. They are fishing.
Yeah.
Straight up getting fished.
There are a lot of programs and people dedicated to scraping social media, figuring out who you are and grabbing all your posts to try to find your information. Right. Like, it's not, you're not making it hard for them, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I also add, though, that like I did one like a week ago that was like your history of cars.
Yeah.
And someone, like, the first response was, well, your first car is like a security question. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I want to talk about my cars. Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
Which, I mean, is fine, because usually they give you a list of possibilities. So if you never use your first car as one of your security questions, then you're fine to talk about your cars. Same with your cat. You could talk about, like, I talk about Thrall all the time. He's got nothing to do with my security. It's all good.
And anything I have that's like really, really important, there's two-factor anyway. So don't matter if you have my damn security questions.
That's right. Also, his cars are cool, so don't give him crap about his car.
No, not my first car. It was a 1996 Honda Accord. Had four doors. It was white. It was automatic with taupe interior. So there's a lot of security questions for you there.
That's also your, that's like your parents', it's your parents'
car.
Yeah,
it's a parent car.
Big time. Mom, can I borrow the car? Can I borrow your four-door white Accord? One. Okay. I mean, I love Accords. Don't get me wrong. They've treated me real well, but trying to see you all punked out and everything like you used to be, driving around in a freaking four-door white family sedan. That's pretty great.
I got my old punk jacket from my parents. I saw them recently. It was my dad's birthday. And they're like, hey, we're cleaning out your closet. Do you want any of this shit? And I forgot that I had this old punk jacket that I sewed like a billion patches onto. And I was definitely driving around in like a mom mobile Accord.
Nice.
Dressed like that.
Yeah. Nice. So next show you'll wear that, right? You'll have that on, that jacket.
Man. Please. Yeah. I mean, it's just a black denim jacket. It's just covered in like patches and shit.
I know what I want. Hey, VPNs, those work good too. It secures your location, your IP address, your history, activity, devices, all that stuff. So if you,
I always run mine when I'm shopping for airline tickets, cause I'm convinced they will get more expensive if they know it's me visiting again after not.
That is hilarious. Now that I think about it, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I'm not saying for sure they're doing it, but I don't trust anything about the airlines. So,
Yeah. I do that anytime I search for anything medical. My hair's been thinning.
Yeah. If you can believe it, look at that hair.
I've been doing some research. And like the first time I searched for it, suddenly all I saw was hair loss ads. Yeah. And it gives me extreme anxiety.
Yeah.
Like extreme anxiety. I don't want to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now when I search about it, I turn on my VPN and I'm seeing a lot less ads.
Yeah. I think no matter what hair loss you may experience due to just time and age, you're never going to lose all that hair. There's no way.
Katie keeps telling me you'll experience the sweet relief of having hair as thin as the rest of us.
Yeah, the rest of the world. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
You'll be one of us again.
Yeah. You're it's like a yard. Your bushes will just be as thick and horrible as the rest of the world. Instead, right now you're like a jungle. You got a lot of hair, man.
You know, I'm making peace with it. There's a part of my brain that's like, boy, it'd be nice to just shave my head and like never need to worry about styling my hair.
Yeah, dude. I could feel that.
It'd be kind of cool.
Well, mine's, ever pulling back. But I had baldness on all sides of my family. I'm not bald, so.
I was about to say, man, you beat the gene pool, the case.
I did. My dad was bald. My mom's dad was bald. My uncles were all bald. Everybody in my life is bald but me. And my brother, he's not bald. So I guess we both got lucky. And my sister's not bald, but that usually doesn't affect her. It's male pattern baldness for a reason. Okay. Moving on, before we wrap things up with an email, I wanted to at least ask, so Mercenaries came out this week, and you guys
of the Hearthstone variety?
The Hearthstone variety, and you guys are on the Angry Chicken over there. I will say, after playing a number of just PvE matches, I think I kind of like it. It mimics, It's so funny because when they were originally marketing it or talking about it before the release, it was hard for me to understand what exactly they were making. It just wasn't.
You were sure. Not alone.
I think everybody yeah. felt that way. But what it ended up being is it's basically one of those often mobile games, but one of these mobile games where you collect heroes and you level them up and you gear them and you give them special abilities, and the higher they level, the better they are. And you can spend money to speed that process up or get the kind of stuff you want or whatever. But you send them out on battles and they have these battles and you kind of turn-based, tell them what you want them to do. And then the battle ensues. And then you go back to camp and see how you did. And, you know, you did some achievements. It means you unlock some stuff. And it's one of those. And I kind of like it. I'm not going to say it's suddenly this is my only thing I'm going to play this year. But I was a little surprised how much I liked it. So curious.
I was expecting it to be like devoid of value and for me to hate it on a level that I couldn't control.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like it's surprisingly, I've never played any of those games. People tell me it's kind of like Raid Shadow Legends. It's kind of like Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
Yeah.
I've never played those games. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing it and I cannot get over how much it reminds me of like OG Game Boy Pokemon combat.
Oh, yeah. I could see that for sure. And all those games kind of have that too.
The colors are even match up. So you've got red units, blue units, green units. And what was it? Red deals double damage to green deals double damage to blue, and blue deals double damage to red. So I have just started thinking about them as fire, grass, water. And I never need to look up that damage triad again.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
It's exactly the same as Pokemon.
Yeah.
And a lot of those games you used as comparisons are great comparisons because that is exactly what those are. And like, so in a lot of ways, what they've done here is very lifted from that model. But I'm jealous of you having never played those others. Those others are horrible time sucks. But they are all based on this gotta catch them all sort of Pokemon thing. And to various levels, some of them succeed more than others. There's an Apple Arcade game that has no microtransactions and none of that garbage in it, but it is one of these games, but it's for Star Trek called Legends. And I got really hooked on that, partly because it doesn't have any of that. Hey, if you spend a couple of bucks, you could remember it. It doesn't have any of that. And so you just play the game for what it is, but it's fun because it's like, I got to get Picard. I want to find Odo. And where's my, you know, I just want to find every Star Trek character and have them in my lineup and then level them up and take them on missions and so on and so forth. And that's what they've made here. And it's cool. It's fine. Like, as a mode in Hearthstone, which already has all the Hearthstone goodness, why not, I say? Just keep adding weird shit like this. I think it's great. What I mean, Joss, your thoughts? I'm sure you've messed around a bit.
So I don't know. I think I'm maybe a little bit more down on it than you guys. It's okay. I liked it at the beginning. I found that like when I was first leveling my characters, it was really rewarding. Like it was giving me all those like dopamine hits with the level up animation and everything else. But it's so grindy that goes away after a couple hours. And then it's like you're waiting a really long time for those things to happen. So I don't know. It lives in the same place for me as other single player Hearthstone content, where it's fine. It's a time sink, but I'm just gonna play it when I would play single player Hearthstone. Like I still prefer standard. I still prefer Battlegrounds over this mode. Like it's never going to be my mode of choice unless I can't play anything else. But my big problem with that is that usually I play single player content when I'm on the go. Like we're driving to my in-laws or something. They live like 4 hours away. So I'm passengering in the car and sitting on my phone and playing a game. Normally that would be single player Hearthstone because the cell signal's hit or miss. But now I might play Mercenaries, except that the Hearthstone mobile client is just hot garbage now. Like I hit the icon on my phone and I have a Pixel 5, so I don't even have an old phone. Mm-hmm. I hit the icon and it's like it thinks about it for 5 minutes, never does anything, and I have to close it. It takes me sometimes like 10, 15 minutes to get the client to work, and then it crashes like 10 minutes into my gameplay. Like
it's just bloated.
A mess. Super bloated. Yeah.
So I'm like, this is the use case for me where I would actually play Mercenaries, but the client is preventing me from doing that. So I'm kind of like, Like, this is a mode I will never spend dollars on. Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad it exists for people who enjoy it. I'll put it that way. But it's not my jam.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about the mobile client. It's got other issues, too. The cards come up in a way that obscure the ready button when you're ready to hit it. Like, it's just kind of goofy that's such an afterthought here, because the mode is tailor-made for toilet time, for I'm on the bus, I'm in the waiting room. Like,
Toilet Time. That's my favorite gacha game.
Yeah, that's a great game. But you know what I mean? Like, that's when you're playing these games. They're not going to be, it's not the kind of thing you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to sit down at my desk and I'm going to play Mercenaries for hours. Like, it just feels like a mobile game. So make it more mobile friendly. I don't know. Like, almost a separate
Which is
client.
Why, like, I really think they should have made it its own thing. Like, it should have just been its own, like, Hearthstone : Mercenaries app on the App Store. Like
Warcraft Mercenaries. Like,
Sure. Yeah. Blizzard Mercenaries. Maybe they should call it, like, Blizzard Heroes.
Ooh.
What if it was like a Storm or a Nexus, and you had all of the Blizzard, famous Blizzard characters?
Oh, weird.
Oh, I see. You know what's really fun is MOBAs. They should do a MOBA with all of the Blizzard IPs.
Yeah, and I like that Nexus idea. They all come together from other places into one place.
And, yeah, maybe they should cannibalize Overwatch esports and pour some effort into that.
Yeah, I think I like that idea. Hey, look, there's always 2022. Let's see what they can do.
You never know.
I like it. I like it.
Quick, quick take on Back for Blood, Garrett. You like it? I take it.
Game of the year for me.
Really? All right, I'm gonna counter you. I'm gonna counter you real quick, and you tell me I'm wrong, and explain why. It is really good. It's a really well made Left 4 Dead like game, and it has people who worked on those games there, so it's got a pedigree. And the fighting or the shooting feels really good. The guns feel great. The pacing is good. It's a beautiful new engine. So facelift on all counts, all that stuff. And it's got the cool card system and some other things, some tweaks in it to make the game a little more interesting with builds and things. But I still feel like I'm just playing more it feels like a modded out Left 4 Dead to me. And I don't know if that's bad or good or what that is. But I guess if you just love Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood's here for you. It's also on Game Pass, so it's like real low barrier to entry and everywhere else. But also, I kind of feel like I've done this for 400 hours before. Why am I doing it again? Kind of feeling. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel
what
bad.
What is your favorite shooter?
Of all time? Probably Unreal Tournament from 2000.
Okay. 2000 and 2000. Okay.
I just realized. Okay. Well, as far as like
the future is, Scott,
action-y,
has the earth bloated into the sun yet?
Like an actiony multiplayer focus kind of thing. Definitely Unreal Tournament. Probably, you know, it's probably closer to something. Oh,
so,
you know what?
So
I got
which
it.
Unreal was that in 2000?
That Unreal. Unreal. No, it was Unreal. Well, Unreal Tournament was in 2000, and that was technically the second game because Unreal was the one from 97 or whatever.
Okay. Did it feel like more of Unreal from 97?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But better. But better. It looked better. It played better. Okay. No, I see where you're going with this. All right.
You're winning my argument.
Okay. My favorite shooter. I changed my mind then. My favorite campaign shooter and multiplayer for that matter is probably actually Titanfall 2. But again, it's better than... It's a stack on top of Titanfall. I understand exactly what you're saying.
So Titanfall 2 feels a lot like Titanfall 1. It's just better.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's Back 4 Blood. Not that it's my favorite ever, and it's third person, not first person, but like one of my favorite sequels and one of the first times in my life where I felt like I really felt the step up from 1 to 2 was Gears of War. Gears of War 2 is so much more fully fledged than 1. It has so many more systems. Yeah. That's when they introduced Horde mode, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's also very, that's like Titanfall 2 as well. Just such a vast improvement over the first game.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for me, Left 4 Dead 2, I didn't think really improved over 1, and I didn't like the characters nearly as much. Mm-hmm. But I still played the crap out of it because I just like that core gameplay loop.
Sure.
Back 4 Blood feels like an actual major step up from its predecessors. Like there are so many more systems, and they're they're interesting. Mm-hmm. I like how they change the gameplay, and not to mention there's what, 4 acts, but they're broken up into so many more stages than either of the last 2 games had. There's just more to progress through. It's way more systems deep. And I like what it borrows from other shooters. Like, my favorite part about Call of Duty is kitting out my gun. Yeah. So the fact that I can kit out my gun in my favorite zombie shooter of all time is like a massive net positive for me.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm going to keep playing. I just have this real, like, done this before feeling, and I'm not saying that's bad. There's plenty of games I like to play again that I've done before. And I love, man, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. Oh, I know what I'll say, and then you can just decide how you want to respond to this. I think my biggest hang-up with the game is that they're the most generic-ass, lame characters in the history of ever. And I say that in light of the fact that Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 were magical with their characters. And what I mean is, you knew, and I talked about this on Core, so sorry to those who I'm repeating this, but you knew who those people were the second you saw them, and you could build backstory in your head immediately. You knew who Francis was and what he was all about. You knew what Bill was about and his grizzled old freaking, you know, I was in Vietnam kind of vibe. All of that stuff from the first game. Second game with Coach and that Nick kid and the dude that was taking money out of the cash register, and that's all you knew about.
Just like Kyle. So Kyle and I'm repeating myself from Nexus Gaming News, so we can just repeat ourselves from other podcasts. Because right. I said I didn't like Left 4 Dead 2 as much as 1 because I don't remember the characters. And he went, oh, Coach and the dude in the white jacket. And you can see this in the first second of Nexus Gaming News this week, where I go, yes, Kyle, tell me about your favorite character you can't remember the frickin' name of. That's Left 4 Dead 2's cast. Do you remember their costumes and Coach? Because Coach was a great character.
He was great. He was great.
Literally every other character was forgettable.
But like,
and
Zoe,
my favorite part of Left 4 Dead 2 was when they let me start playing as Left 4 Dead 1 characters in an update.
Okay, well, fair enough. But they were still really good at that characterization. It was immediate, and it was, whether you liked them or not, you knew what they were, what they were about, and where you were going. Even though it didn't matter in the big scheme of things, you're just shooting zombies, and who cares? No one character has anything over anyone else. And Francis is going to go, damn it, Bill. And Bill's going to say, reloading and whatever. It's just going to be that way. And it was great. And I loved that for it. I loved that aspect of the game. This game is not that, dude. Those people are all the most lame-ass, secondary, tertiary, Walking Dead-ass characters. I hate them.
They are. I'll give you that. But I really felt that way about Left 4 Dead 2, except for Coach. So it doesn't really bother me.
Fair point.
That much. Yeah. And also, I don't know, what to do with the magnificent hair and the character Mom are really growing on me.
Oh, yeah, the Mom.
As I've been playing more of it. They have some fun one-liners that remind me of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And here I am, not being able to remember the name of the character I'm defending. But yeah, the other thing I noticed with it, like, it was kind of a negative. Like, I like that Left 4 Dead, like, and Kyle brought this up. I love the movie posters. And, like, that's the pitch for each level you're playing through. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't as hot on the idea of a single like arc all the way through the game, which is what Back 4 Blood does. But as I was playing through and like I got to my first big kind of end of chapter and I got a new cinematic, I was like, I think this is like stealth a Diablo game. Mm-hmm. It felt like playing through a Diablo campaign because I also don't give a flying shit about the characters in Diablo, but the cinematics at the end of the chapters are really cool.
Yeah, they're like really well made. Yeah, like they're from every angle. That's a really pretty AAA level game. They do some interesting thing with some of the zombie types that aren't just normal zombies. Like it's got a lot going for it, and I think people are going to be. Oh, if I see one more pile of crows, though, I'm going to kick a dog. I hate them so much, those piles of crows.
Oh, they're great, though. Oh, I hate them. Finding ways to screw you over in this type of game, I love it. I'm glad that car alarms are back. I also love that there are, like, fire emergency doors that if you open, set off an alarm.
Yeah.
And the scaring birds to attract zombies is great.
It's pretty good. So watch for Garrett's new Back 4 Blood podcast coming soon to a podcast player near you. All right. Did you play it at all, Jocelyn? I forgot to ask.
No, I didn't. You're okay. Fine. Totally skipping.
All right, good. I didn't play much.
It's a new spooky game and you haven't played it?
I like spooky games, but I don't usually like zombie games. So
I picked up Man of Medan, by the way. It's wonderful.
What is it?
Yes!
What a delightful game. Joss mentioned it in the last episode. She was talking about the Dark Pictures anthology.
Yeah.
And the first game in the series is Man of Medan. And so I almost bought like the whole set and I was like, well, what if I hate it? So I just ordered I just ordered Man of Badan.
Okay.
Just cracked that with Katie, and we're loving it. Like, it's
great. Especially if you're playing co-op then?
No, she's okay. Drinking wine and I'm piloting.
Well, because that's the like asymmetrical co-op game where like you can play online with somebody and they're playing through a different like part of the story than you are.
I didn't know it did that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you're both playing through at the same time, and then so sometimes
am I missing out something by doing single player?
Maybe. I really liked playing with somebody else because they make really good use of like when you come back together and what that looks like, because I don't want to say too much. I don't want to spoil it.
You're blowing my mind. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. Like, can I do it on the couch or does it have to be online?
I think it would probably have to be online because you're experiencing two different stories. So I don't know how you would do that sitting in the living room.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's a good point. You'd have to be in another room at least. But
yeah, you'd have to be in another room. Yeah.
This is a pretty game. This looks nice.
It is pretty. And the way that they handle the camera when you're moving around is really clever. It's like, imagine OG, like locked Resident Evil camera. If it was good and effective.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was never like good, but I understand. Sure.
It's cool.
I mean, yeah, I like
it's from, for this scares. Whole thing is from the Until Dawn people. So if you liked Until Dawn, you'll probably.
Oh,
like,
Until Dawn is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea this even existed. Man of Medan.
It is clever in the way it portrays its story.
Okay. Like, it's, I'm going to check it out.
It's real cool.
Is this on PC, I guess? Steam somewhere? Whatever.
I bought it for PS4 because I want, well, PS5, but the Man of Dan's only comes in a PS4 version because I want to play it on the couch.
Yeah, it looks like it's what, 2019? I don't know if I never heard of this. I've heard of everything. I haven't heard of
they've
this.
They've done the they're next doing one a year.
Came
yeah.
out. Didn't
okay.
it?
Yeah. It comes out next week. It comes out next Friday. Yep.
Yeah. You'd mentioned it and I was like, oh damn, it's cheap. Like, these aren't expensive games. So,
it's also on Game Pass. There you go.
Oh, it is on Game Pass? No way. For it. No way. No. I have no excuse now. Okay, but let me ask this. Is it a horror game in a horror sense, or is it just intense and like a thriller kind of thing? Like,
I jumped multiple times and I'm only 2 or 3 hours into it.
Okay.
There are jumpy bits. Yeah.
Great. Means
there was one moment that was should not have been scary, and I legitimately went,
All right. I'm going to try it. I don't know how I didn't hear this. I've scoured Game Pass up and down multiple times just because I like to know everything that's in there. I've never seen this. I feel like I'm gonna
Let's also, can we talk about the title Man of Medan? I don't know what the hell that means. There's nothing about that that seems scary. Man of
Medan. That's fair.
Like, I would have absolutely passed this by. I would have been like, oh, Man of Medan, and it's an actor's face I recognize. What Alan Wake bullshit is this?
I
just finished my first playthrough of Alan Wake, and I loved
it. Dude, Alan Wake is fine.
It bored me to tears.
It's fine. Alan Wake is fine. It's a good game. It's all right.
It's not my cup of tea. I respect it. I have respect for Alan. I can respect something and not like it, and that's my feeling on Alan Wake.
Fair enough. So this, Dark Pictures. Man, I feel like you guys woke me up from a fake coma, and you're telling me a lie about a thing that doesn't exist, but I guess it exists. I usually know all this stuff, and I have no idea what this game is.
It's like Marty and Doc. Like, no, Marty, it's anthological video games. Yeah. We got to do something about the anthological video games.
It's your kids, anthological video games. All right, excellent stuff there. We're gonna take our leave. Thanks everybody for hanging around. We hope our deep dive into the Twitch mess at least gets some of you on 2-factor authentication and helps you understand that whole situation better. We'll hit another big topic next week. Here on the show. Don't forget, in the meantime, you can support the show at theinstance.net, become an Instance Plus member, and get all sorts of benefits. They're all detailed there. Go check it out. Before we go, quick roundhouse about who's doing what this week. Jocelyn, anything cool happening?
Nothing really, just pimping the charity as normal.
Oh, yeah, this is the month. This is it. Yeah. What are your play? You've got dates, right? Remind people when you're going to be streaming and all that. When's that happening?
So tentatively next week, because we're going to be streaming the new anthologies entry, which is From Ashes or House of Ashes. Damn it. I always get the name wrong. It's something about ashes. Anyways, right. It's the next one in that series. There's Man of Medan, Little Hope, and then a new one.
Okay.
So, it's Ash Wednesday. We're all going to go to church. We're going to get a little cross put on our forehead.
That's Midnight Mass. That's Midnight Mass. Okay.
That was my childhood, Jocelyn. That was my childhood.
So tentatively on Friday, I've got some medical stuff that might mess with that, but we'll see. But definitely November 6th, which is Extra Life Game Day. We will be streaming from the get-go all the way through the day. So go and check that out if you want to follow the stream. That's over on Twitch. I'm Joss Plays, J-O-C-E Plays. And if you want to support the charity, you can go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021.
Very, very nice. Garrett, what's going on around you?
If you like that Back for Blood ramble there, you should go check out the latest episode of Nexus Gaming News, available everywhere you get your podcasts, or you can go to nexusgamingnews.com, or you can watch the video version, which I put a lot of effort into, and I would really appreciate it if you watched it, over at youtube.com/amovetv.
Oh, very nice. Go check all those things out. While you're at it, there's more at frogpants.com. Plenty of shows happening. I do a general video game show, speaking of which. On Thursdays, called Core, and we had a really great one last night. Went pretty deep into some cool stuff, and I don't want to spoil it too much. Just go listen, frogpants.com/core. This show can be found at theinstance.net. That includes all our archives. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, and of course, Joss Plays. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.